when I walk in the club, all eyes on me. All right, when you hear this song, we try to be responsible on the Be Mitch Finley program. I really do anyway. I figure I'm a fairly responsible fella. Happy birthday to Susan Frank. Had a fun party last night. Brian and his wife Monica were there. I left early, Landfill, in an effort of being responsible.
That's so unlike you, leaving early.
The guesses for when I would leave, somebody had the audacity to say I would leave a party that started at 7 and was supposed to go to 11 by 8:30. I thought that was downright rude. I didn't leave till 8:47, Landfill. But it was a very nice night. Also, shout out to Chuck Bell. I did the NBC4 morning show this morning. I do that during the football season. And I was on After the Weather, and Chuck Bell, I didn't realize this. Today is the anniversary of the D.C. earthquake. Remember that joint? It was, I was in Roslyn. I was in one of those high rises in Roslyn. It was, felt like it was bumping up there. I eventually want to play this Cliff Kingsbury audio, but I want to let you and Chris respond because we've been busy and we had tech trouble with the stream. Stream's up and running now. Hope you're enjoying it. I do not think they did well in the Dotson trade. Maybe if he balled out for them, they could get more in a Dotson trade. If he didn't ball out, they'd probably get less, and they didn't get very much. I am a believer in market economics, and I don't think Adam Peters only called Philly about trading Dotson. I'm guessing he called lots of places to see what there was out there, and there wasn't that much out there. That's, to me, pretty obvious. To others, it might not be. I think Dotson can play. I do not, however, understand Jimmy Lee Patterson. And I wish Jeff was here because he knows the folks in the chat if they're crazy or trolls or whatever. I don't know that this dude is or isn't. Maybe he just thinks he knows me. But Jimmy Lee Patterson accused me of playing water boy for the organization because I'm downplaying Dotson's rookie year. Jimmy, here's what I can tell you. I said on television, radio, and podcast that Dotson was really good as a rookie. He had 7 touchdowns on 35 catches. He was in an offense, Scott Turner's offense, that designed ways to get him off the line of scrimmage. They designed ways for him to get off the line of scrimmage without a big bump or a jam or press. And then once he got into space, he was really good. In Eric Bieniemy's offense, that largely dried up, and a lot of Dotson's red zone prowess dried up. Not to mention, all of a sudden last year, he was dropping passes that I never would have expected when he came out of college because he was graded as arguably the best hands catcher in that draft class. I am in no way downplaying Dotson showed serious flashes of being a stud wideout. And maybe he'll get back to it. But it doesn't matter because Adam Peters and Dan Quinn didn't want him here. You can't look at the events of the last 24 hours and come to any other conclusion that the staff now did not want him. Landini, with this obviously happened yesterday during our program, but now we've had 24 hours to kind of decompress. What do you make of the trade?
Well, they didn't give very much for him, and there's not really like another. It's not like they had a super loaded wide receiver room, and they're like, well, we got to offload somebody. So they clearly didn't think very much of him. That's really disappointing. From the, you know, this guy was a first round pick a couple years ago, and you managed to turn a first-round pick into a third-round pick. That sucks. I am a little worried that they, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn, are doing this thing that kind of happens a lot in the NFL when new guys come in. They just decide to just clear out all of the previous regime's guys.
That is true.
And a lot of times there are some players, you know, not everybody that you get rid of sucks completely. You know, you're taking baths on some guys that maybe you shouldn't necessarily. I don't think this is huge. It's like, I don't think they gave away like a future all pro or even a pro bowler, if that even still means anything. But it's a little disappointing considering the state of the wide receiver room.
This is kind of interesting. I hadn't looked at this. In Jahan's rookie year, when he had that early success, remember, he had 2 touchdown catches week 1. Then he injured his hammy, missed, I think, 5 or 6 games. 4 of his 7 touchdown catches came when Carson Wentz was at quarterback. Sorry, I had to sneeze. I think Dotson could play, and maybe they aren't maximizing what he can be. They also want physical guys that will block down the field, and I don't think anybody believes that that's necessarily Dotson's game. There's a lot of people on hold here. Who's been on hold the longest? Kel in what? No, Tion in D.C. Tion, what up, man?
Hey, what's going on, JP? How you doing, man?
I'm sneezing a lot.
Okay. First off, we Commanders fans, we've forgotten what it means to run a first-class organization. And what I mean by that is that you have to trust the process. Ever since Harris took over, and then we got Peters, and then we got DQ, they've had the same message. They've been on point, and they've been pushing it through. What they want from their guys is for them to play physical and play fast. That's not Jahan's game. Instead of leaving something in the locker room that become malcontent, trade for it. Everybody's crapping on the receivers, but I didn't look at the receiver competition like that. I looked at the receiver competition as others stepping up and pushing Jahan out. We have a first-year rookie quarterback. And he has a new wide receiving core that he gets to grow with. That's the perfect scenario or situation. We got to stop expecting that we're going to win all the time as soon as everybody comes in. We are used to the shiny quick pick instead of becoming a dominant team, a powerhouse team. And that's what it seems like this organization is building right now. They lived up to their word ever since they got here. So why are we tripping and freaking out right now?
Thank you, buddy. It's a good call.
No problem.
It's a long-term thing. Peters told you that the day he was introduced, and everybody was cool with it. And now it's, oh, my God, you got rid of Dotson. You suck. Do something else. Tim is in College Park. What up, Timmy?
What's up, JP? How you doing, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good, man. Good. Listen, just to kind of piggyback on what the last caller was saying, you know, look at the Texans, right? Like, we're trying to win. And Jahan Dotson, even though he's not Julio Jones or Roddy White, he's a talented receiver, which is why he was at the top of the draft board for receivers in his class. And to take him away from a rookie quarterback, it's like we talk about he's not blocking down the field hard. He's a receiver. And you talked about the last offensive coordinator who found a way to get him off press, then that's what Cliff Kingsbury has to figure out. Like, at the end of the day, you need talent to win. Dan Quinn had Roddy White and Julio Jones. Adam Peters had Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. You need talent to win.
I agree, but do you know how long it took to put together Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, to get all that talent put together? That took time. This is what they're trying to do now.
I agree with you about that, but the 49ers have always had talent. They've always been competing for a Super Bowl for the past 5 or 6 years. At the end of the day, I think Adam Peters is trying to do too much. Like, you need to understand that you need talent in order to win, and you don't have to try to be Bill Belichick. Get the talent on your team, coach them up, and if it doesn't work out, move on. But at this point, blocking down the field is the last thing I'm worried about for my wide receiver.
All right, man. That's a fair viewpoint. Thank you for the call. All right, Dave has been on hold a while. Dave, what up, man?
Hey, JP, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
The weather's good and everything good. I've got two things, JP. Remember in the game against the Jets, they kept Jahan on the field for quite a while?
Yeah, man. I tweeted out that he caught a pass from Jeff Driskel with about 3 minutes remaining in the first half, and that stood out to me, and everybody got mad at me for tweeting that out. Hey, why does that matter, bro? Well, they just traded him. Perhaps I was onto something. Anyway.
And also, I think Eric Bieniemy, offensive coordinator stuff, kind of hurt Jahan.
I agree with you. Great call, Dave. Thanks, pal.
But you know, one more thing. But you know, JP?
Yes.
Adam Peters and him didn't draft him. And so They ain't got no ties with Jahan.
Dave and VA, nothing but facts. Thank you, pal. Appreciate you listening.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Shout out to Heavy Metal Chris. This dude's name is Derek from the chat, but he wrote Derek from the Chad, like the country in Africa. So I appreciate that. What up, Derek?
JP, what's going on, man? How you doing?
We're chilling. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy about this trade, JP. I'm happy because I feel like we flipped it for something great. We got ourselves a kicker. And this guy might win us some games. Jahan catching one reception and not blocking would have lost us some games. This kicker hitting like 50-plus yards. You know, we lose games every year because we can't kick field goals. It happens to us every year.
I don't think Jahan loses us games. I think he
loses his game. My bad. I'm not trying to say that.
I'm not here for Jahan's slander. It didn't go right here.
Right.
Clearly, the NFL marketplace doesn't hold him to the first round pick he was a couple of years ago. But like, I'm not here for Jahan's slander. How about that?
Okay. No. I'm not, and I'm not trying to slander Jahan either. He's a good player. He's a stand up dude. Like every time he does interviews, he's a good guy. It's just that the offense doesn't fit for him that we're trying to build. And that's cool. We got a good trade for him. I think we got value in the third rounder. We could get a DB. We can get a good offensive lineman with that third rounder. And a seventh. And two sevenths. We flipped the seventh for the kicker. Honestly, JP, I don't see it as a loss for either side. If he goes over and has success in Philly, then you know there's going to be some toxic fans that are going to do what they do. But, you know, like at the end of the day, we have a young team. And we're just trying to put good pieces in front of our star. That's JD. So that's going to be wide receiver blocking in a heavy run offense. You
Thank
know?
You, Derek. So, yep. Appreciate you, buddy. I like how Derek led that off, too. And he's like, man, I love this trade. They needed a kicker. Nobody's talking about kicker gate once you trade away Jahan Dotson. Rico is in Fairfax. What up, Rico?
Hey, what's going on, JP? I'm just calling my guys. So I don't like the trade because year one, he was good. He showed potential. Year two, he declined it. Third year, give him a chance. I understand the culture you're trying to bring, but just give him a chance. We ain't getting nothing in return about it. He's still in a rookie contract. Just give him a chance. That's all I feel about it. And also, one more thing. Can y'all bring Doc back for at least once a month or something just to have his take on the season?
Doc Walker?
Yes, sir.
We can't afford his fee, but I'll ask if he'll do some pro bono.
Okay, appreciate you.
Thanks, buddy. That's Rico. Shout out to Rico. I wish Jeff was here because I feel like he'd be the perfect gauge. But Landfill, I'm going to have to ask you to channel your inner Jeff, okay, which is tricky. Method acting, please. What level of Ashburn syndrome is it that folks are like, damn, you gave up this weapon with a young quarterback when Jahan last year was top 10 in the NFL in drops and had, I think he had 40. I want to pull the exact number because I don't want to be wrong. I believe it was 53 catches on 89 targets, something like that. 49 catches on 83 targets. What level of Ashburn syndrome is it that, like, damn, you gave up on that dude?
See, the thing about Ashburn syndrome is I'm, like, barely afflicted over here, so I have a hard time deciding.
I'm saying that folks are suffering from it.
Or I'm actually having a hard time deciding if it's extreme Ashburn syndrome to think that Jahan Dotson could turn it around and like be a good NFL receiver, or if it's actually what extreme Ashburn syndrome would be to just get on like the Martavis Bryant hype train and say Jahan was terrible.
There's a lot of Ashburn syndrome can afflict many in many different ways.
It was like, you know, COVID. They're like, we don't know, the symptoms are inconsistent.
Long
That's what Ashburn
COVID,
syndrome is.
Short COVID.
Yeah.
Long Ashburn syndrome. That's what the ladies like. Kel is in Waldorf. What up, Kel?
How you doing, JP? Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. What'd you think of the trade?
I like the trade. I like the trade because I feel like Ron drafted Jahan. I think Ron drafted Jahan too early. He overvalued him in the draft. So I feel like the guys are coming in and they're looking, they have no ties to anybody. They're looking for guys who's going to compete, who's going to work hard. And they traded and they got what they could get for him at the time, the best value. I mean, I don't understand why everybody's acting like we're giving away all pro. Not to say Jahan's a bad player, because I like Jahan while he was here. But like you said, he had some big drops last year. And for him to come in the cap and feel like he doesn't have to compete, from what people were saying, and, you know, I don't know how true this, I'm not out there, but from what people were saying, that, you know, for him to feel like he doesn't have to compete, or he's pouting about competing for a new regime, is crazy to me. So, again, nobody's looking at the fact that I feel like Ron, the last three first-round picks Ron made, he overvalued and overdrafted all three of those guys, to me. So I like the trade. I think it's a great trade. I think we have a good front office, and I trust them.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome.
That's my guy Kel right there from Waldorf. For the understandable theory of why give up now, he can still play, maybe the trade value goes higher, it can also go lower. Like, there are two sides to every coin. Jupe is on the line. Jupe, hit me. What'd you think?
Hey, what's going on, JP? What's going on with this fan base, man? I'm going to start it off with this. Let's think about all those Super Bowl-winning Patriots teams. Outside of Edelman, off the top of your head, can you name any other receivers off those Super Bowl-winning teams? And on top of that, to what the other callers,
I understand they lost the Super Bowl, but they did have Randy Moss, who broke every conceivable record that season.
True, but they didn't win, though. And you got to compare, and same token goes for the guy that's talking about the 49ers.
I mean, they were 17-0 before they lost in the Super Bowl. But I hear you.
Right. And then they compare the 49ers. If you compare the 49ers receiving corps on paper to the Kansas City Chiefs, you would feel that they have a better receiving corps. So with all that being said, like, we've been crying for change. We got the change. It's going to take time. Let's just see what's going to happen. Just take your time. Everybody relax. Let's see what's happening. That's all I got to say.
Jupe, when you're a young man and you finally get a chance to lay down with a woman, do you take your time?
No.
I think that's what's going on. Folks are just so damn fired up. Nobody wants to take their damn time. Thank you for the call,
yeah,
Jupe.
No problem.
Craig Hoffman next. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll take calls all damn day. I'm here by myself. Deal or a shout out. Hook your boy Sam up. I'm not in charge of wide receiver deals, but Sam, happy birthday. So now it is Sam's birthday, Sonny Jurgensen's birthday, and Danny Rudiger. How do you say it? Danny Ruye's birthday. This is cool. I was unaware of this, but Hoffman is now in the stream. I'm guessing I still have to pull him up on VX, so I'm going to do that. What up, Hoff? How you doing, buddy?
What's up? Yeah, no, this is a wacky bit because we were going to do a Comrex, but I guess we got some tech stuff going on. So I'm going to be in the stream for people watching on YouTube, but I still sound like I'm on the phone.
Cool. You were always one step ahead of the tech. Whatever it is, ass off. Dude, so I was listening to your show driving home yesterday, and you had a really good point about people screaming about the in-division trade because the timelines for these teams are very different. Do you mind? I just thought it was smart, and I like smart commentary. Craig Hoffman from the Craig Hoffman Show joining us right now on The Fan. You can follow him at Craig Hoffman and listen to his program at 4 o'clock, I think.
Yes, that's okay. Correct. 4 o'clock.
There you go.
Yeah, you leave and then time becomes a vacuum, but you do listen to the show and text Anthony and I, which I very much appreciate. No, so the point is basically this. If you are looking at the timeline of when the Commanders want to compete, we realistically think it's going to be 2 to 3 years from now. Like, even if Jaden goes out and has a Stroud-esque year, okay, next year you make a bunch of moves and you do what they did with Diggs and you try to bring people in. And next year, you're trying to compete. Well, John Dotson's got 2 years left on his contract, and they've already paid Devontae Smith. They've already paid A.J. Brown. And so the chances that 3 years from now, when more likely you'll be competitive in year three of Jaden Daniels, that Jahan Dotson's still an Eagle, like, you're not even really competing with them. And I think to even add on to that, JP, I didn't talk about this as much yesterday, but it's something I'm definitely going to bring up today. And so your listeners and you get a preview of this first. Dan Quinn's been competing against Jahan Dotson for 2 years when he was the D coordinator in Dallas, and he's watched Mike Sanders still play against him every single day. You think if they were that scared, with all due respect to Jahan, who I think will be better in Philadelphia, he suits a little bit more of what they do than what they were asking him to do here. But if they were that scared of Jahan Dotson, do you think they would have traded him in division? Like, no, he's not going to be the player that I think we hoped he became. they realize that. They don't have the emotional attachment to him. And so they did what they thought was best for the football team. And by the way, that thing happens to be just fine with the timeline for when they want to compete.
Well, and there's like this theory that they took less to send him to Philly. I am confident. I can guarantee you. Adam Peters called a whole bunch of teams. He didn't just call Howie. Be like, Howie, man, do I have a deal for you? What's it going to take for me to get you in a car today? Like, the market is the market. And I think folks are reluctant to understand that or embrace it. And I get that maybe Jahan balls out this year. And if you want to trade him, there's more value at the deadline. Or he balls out this year and you just want to keep him. But it's entirely possible the negative trajectory continues. And then there's even less value down the stretch or even less value next offseason. It's just crazy to me that we all hammer Rivera for the draft picks and, frankly, the player evaluations throughout his tenure. And now that they've traded away Dotson, it's like, hell no, that guy was a first rounder. What are you thinking? You know what I mean?
Right. No, 100%. Those two thoughts cannot coexist in perfect harmony in a sane thought train. Like, this is not that you can't be like, that guy, I can't believe Rivera sucks because he picked Jahan Dotson in the first round. How dare you trade first round pick Jahan Dotson for a third rounder because you gave up a fifth. And to your original point, JP, like, if all other things were equal, if there were thirds, the same exact deal, third and 2/7 for a fifth and Dotson on the table from an AFC West team and an NFC East team, you trade into the AFC West. You don't take the risk that the downward
trajectory
that
he's been on. They would have loved to trade him to Denver or the Chargers.
Especially a team that's probably going to be worse than Philly. Like, if Philly's good this year, this pick is going to be lower in the third round. Although they did just take Luke McCaffrey at the bottom of the third round, right, who they hope is going to replace Jahan Dotson. So that's probably worth pointing out as well. But yeah, if literally all other things are equal, then you absolutely try to trade him somewhere else. But the chances that everything else was equal were not very good. The chances that they were getting this deal from someone else were not good. This is a kind of player that Philly takes a swing on, and sometimes they're right. They've had some success. I mean, the ultimate success with a distressed asset, if you will, is A.J. Brown. He was going the wrong way in Tennessee, turned around. He's been awesome, all pro level in Philadelphia. But there's also been other guys that they've taken swings on that it hasn't worked. But I think that you have to keep your eyes on your own paper. Like, I talked to, I don't know if you heard me mention this on the show yesterday, JP, but I talked to Will Dawkins about this, about the Porzingis trade. And basically I was like, are you like, do you hear the yells of like, oh, you handed Boston a title? And he goes, good. I want to be a good trade partner because I want good return for us. Like, we have a long vision for what we're trying to do here. And Adam Peters, although the vision is not as long in the football game as it is in the basketball arena, but they have a long vision for what they want to do. And they are concerned with getting the best routine the best return for them that works for what they are trying to build. And what it does for the other side is only really relevant if you're ready to compete with them right now. And they just like, there's the 53 is going to get named Monday, Tuesday, whatever it is.
Tuesday, yeah.
30 new names on it. 30. They know their roster needed an overhaul. They're not worried about competing on the level that Philly is worried about competing at right now.
Right. And I think people just get so excited and geeked up for one, a new season, but then you add Jaden and then how Jaden has looked. And it's like, yo, F that. We're playing to win right now. And Peters, yo, and the coaching staff, if you ask Bobby Johnson or Ken Norton, hell yeah, they're playing to win right now. Coaches have to. A good front office is playing to win week one in Tampa, but also in 2024, and to build a long-term playoff contender. Huff, you're going to be surprised by this, maybe, but there was something specifically I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
And people will probably hang up. Don't hang up. I'm coming back to the phones in a minute. NWSL just got rid of their draft completely, right?
Yes.
And they're going to like a European-style format?
Correct.
Why?
So there's a couple of things, and some of them are kind of like the moral compass of the league. And I think it's a lot easier on the most fundamental level. if you're going to draft Caleb Williams 1-1 overall in the NFL draft and his signing bonus is $25 million, it's a lot more moral to treat that person like a commodity. If you want to trade them, okay, well, you know, he's making $25 million. The NWSL minimum salary has been, you know, 10 years ago, it was $12,000. It's now in the 40s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And this new CBA that they've signed is going to rise it by 2030 to $80,000. Like, imagine on whatever most people's listening salary is, if you could just be traded and uprooted. And by the way, when you graduated school, you didn't have a choice where you got to move and start your life. You just got assigned. Mm. Like, there's that element.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that, like, they're competing in a global marketplace. Like, it's not the NFL that if you want to play professional football at the highest level, the NFL is it.
Right.
If you are, and I'll use a name that people have hopefully heard of, Katarina Macario, a U.S. women's national team player. She's one of the, when healthy, one of the 10 best players in the world, perhaps. And a couple of years ago, she had a $500,000 a year offer from Chelsea, or she could have signed, like, stayed in the U.S. and been drafted one overall by, I think, like Louisville and made 70K.
Go to London.
She chose Chelsea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. She's playing in England, having a blast, making $500,000 a year. And so if you're going to lose players, it becomes a competitive balance issue of if you want to be the best league in the world, you better have a way to keep players. And so those are the big factors. But I do think it's a fun discussion of, like, what would it look like in the NFL and the NBA? Because I do think that, like, the fact that we just assign people where they go to work is kind of nuts. And then we just treat them as commodities and trade them around. And, you know, then again, we're as guilty as anything, because in our business, that's like what we talk about.
Well, dude, and you and I in the radio business are certainly just treated as commodities. So who the hell knows?
Well,
I got to run. I am making my Washington Spirit debut this weekend. Very excited to come to the game on Sunday, bringing my daughters. Thank you, Hoff. Everybody tune in 4:00.
Appreciate it.
All right, Craig Hoffman, give him a follow on Twitter at Craig Hoffman. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. It is a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Steve Palazzolo. That should be really cool. Right now, though, people have been on hold a long time. People want to talk. Jahan Dotson, man. Some people are pissed. Some people are not. Ashburn Dave, what up, dude?
What up, JP? Hey, I'm okay with the trade real quick. As soon as it happened, a couple of buddies of mine texted and said, yeah, he went to Philadelphia, he'll be an all-pro up there. But, you know, that's the old way here. But, you know, I trust this new regime. They said it was going to be competition. They let a lot of guys play in that position this preseason. And they probably like what they see there. And the production from him, yeah, he's a good player. 1-2 catches a game, a drop. He's not blocking downfield. A lot of those long plays are 10, 15, 20, 30-yard plays where guys break loose. It's a receiver chipping somebody downfield, or at least, you know, shadowing them, pushing them away. But if he's not going to work like that, you know, I trust their decision. I wish we'd have gotten a little more and given a little less. But the 2 seventh-rounders, I don't know the value there, but somebody could stand up there. But that third-rounder could be a big, bad left tackle next year, or right tackle.
Yeah, man.
Some kind of lineman. You can pick those up there. But I trust it.
I appreciate you, Ashburn, Dave. Good to hear from you, pal. That's what CK, the cluster buster, was like. Listen, man, third-rounder is not nothing. It's going to be a top 100 pick. I mean, yo, if we're excited about Luke McCaffrey, I mean, that's a third-rounder. You know who was once a third-rounder, Landfill? Terry McLaurin. I believe Fred Warner was a third-rounder that Adam Peters took. Who knows? Yami Brown was also a third-rounder. The tackle they hope can play for them is a third-rounder, Brandon Coleman. Ray is in Southeast and wants to know why everybody's tripping. What up, Ray?
JP, what's up with you, man?
I'm chilling, dude. I'm very hungry. And because it's just me and Landfill, we have no means to get food. Chris is kind of running around. Is Chris with us today, or is he doing tech stuff?
He's here. He's a person.
I didn't know if you were working with us today in Jeff's spot, or if you were doing all sorts of tech stuff, because we got a lot of tech stuff. Sorry, Ray. This is very important to figure out.
I am working with you guys in Jeff's spot today, but there is a ton of tech stuff, so I'm helping with that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Now that we cleared that up, Ray, why is everybody tripping?
Nah, JP, you good, man. Nah, I don't know why they tripping, man. I don't understand, man. Everybody believe in AP, and I believe in AP. I've been a Redskins fan since forever. I've witnessed 2 Super Bowls. So everybody believe in AP, just keep believing in AP. I don't understand why everybody's tripping. I like Dotson, too. But if they seen the reason to let him go, then trust the reason to let him go. I don't know what everybody up in arms for. I don't understand.
I think that's a fair response, right? Honestly, like, I get that people think maybe they didn't get enough. I'm not – if Jahan Ball's out, the ops of this trade are going to be significant. But right now, the only theory that I think is completely asinine is that, like, oh, they didn't get enough. They got everything they could. The market is the market, man. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate you, buddy. Richard in Springfield. Richard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, JP. How are you?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing good. I tell you why I like this trade. Yeah, I like it from the way it was handled. It's like a real competent professional management perspective. And most importantly, I think we did right by the young man. We didn't send him to an NFL clown show. He gets to play with Jalen Hurts. He gets to play with experienced pros and a winning culture. And he gets to play for a team that's got a really good shot at the NFC Championship game. And, you know, it's a chance for him to perform, do exactly what he says he's capable of. And if he will, he'll get paid. And from the Commander's perspective, you know, for whatever reason, the coaching brain trust said pass. And Peters went into action. He didn't waste time. He didn't, like, wait till the cut down and release the kid. He got a reasonable, fast deal done. And it reinforces to the rest of the players that this organization is serious about winning and willing to make changes as necessary and almost at any moment. So he did a good deal for him. Peters did a good job for the Commanders. And for me, the days of Snyder Ball are permanently over.
I appreciate that, Richard. And it's interesting because one of the biggest knocks on Dan Snyder was that he viewed everything as a zero-sum game, that somebody won and somebody lost, and he always had to win. Now, we know that that wasn't the case, but that was his mindset. It's valuable if Dotson is good in Philly, because then Philly's getting something out of this trade too. Now, it sucks because we all hate Philly, and it's the most stabby city in America, but like that is how trades are supposed to work. Matt Stafford is on the line. Hello, Matt.
Hey, I like this for everyone. I love Jahan, but I like it for everybody. And in a way, it shows the confidence they have in Kingsbury's offense because it simplifies the read progression. It takes the politics out of the read progression and makes it easy for Jaden to just go ahead and take off with it. And when you think about Kingsbury's Cardinals, they might have had Hollywood Brown. I don't remember him having too many big names or a couple big names at once.
DeAndre Hopkins.
And the only thing that I would say is maybe Jahan didn't fit in the Y or the Z or where they wanted him to be, but I do think he would have filled in pretty well for Terry. Say Terry were to get dinged up, I think Jahan would have been good to slide into that spot. But well, last thing I'd say is Eric Nathan, they mentioned him on the Junkies this morning. They said, you know, about Jahan, nobody ever really had much good to say. But really, no one really ever had much good to say about Eric Bieniemy. So you got to kind of factor that in as well when you're taking in consideration how people are behaving at the practices.
Thank you,
buddy.
What
do you think, JP?
Appreciate you, pal. I mean, it is pretty remarkable if you look at last year's production, to Matt's point. I mean, just catches. Like, was there an outcry, an uproar of angst or aggression when they let Curtis Samuel walk in free agency and he signed with the Bills? Curtis Samuel had 62 catches for 613 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. They let Logan Thomas go. Logan had 6 more catches and about the same amount of yards as Jahan. You know, I think you could argue they should have re-signed Curtis. All right, Lanville, I'm going to try to do the right thing. We got Steve Palazzolo joining us next. If you're on hold, we're just going to have phones going the whole damn day, okay? The whole damn day. Steve Palazzolo, founder of Pro Football Focus, just started his own new podcast, Dude Knows Ball. Let's ask him about the trade. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7, The Fan. It is a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Steve Palazzolo. That should be really cool. Right now, though, people have been on hold a long time. People want to talk. Jahan Dotson, man. Some people are pissed. Some people are not. Ashburn Dave, what up, dude?
What up, JP? Hey, I'm okay with the trade real quick. As soon as it happened, a couple of buddies of mine texted and said, yeah, he went to Philadelphia. He'll be an all-pro up there. But, you know, that's the old way here. But, you know, I trust this new regime. They said it was going to be competition. They let a lot of guys play in that position this preseason. And they probably like what they see there. And the production from him, yeah, he's a good player. 1-2 catches a game, a drop. He's not blocking downfield. A lot of those long plays are 10, 15, 20, 30-yard plays where guys break loose. It's a receiver chipping somebody downfield, or at least, you know, shadowing them, pushing them away. But if he's not going to work like that, you know, I trust their decision. I wish we'd have gotten a little more and given a little less. But the 2 seventh-rounders, I don't know the value there, but somebody could stand up there. But that third-rounder could be a big, bad left tackle next year, or right tackle.
Yeah, man.
Some kind of lineman. You can pick those up there. But I trust it.
I appreciate you, Ashburn, Dave. Good to hear from you, pal. That's what CK, yeah, the cluster buster, was like. Listen, man, third-rounder is not nothing. It's going to be a top 100 pick. I mean, yo, if we're excited about Luke McCaffrey, I mean, that's a third-rounder. You know who was once a third-rounder, Landfill? Terry McLaurin. I believe Fred Warner was a third-rounder that Adam Peters took. Who knows? Yami Brown was also a third-rounder. The tackle they hope can play for them is a third-rounder, Brandon Coleman. Ray is in Southeast and wants to know why everybody's tripping. What up, Ray?
JP, what's up with you, man?
I'm chilling, dude. I'm very hungry, and because it's just me and Landfill, we have no means to get food. Chris is kind of running around. Is Chris with us today, or is he doing tech stuff?
He's here. He's a person.
I didn't know if you were working with us today in Jeff's spot or if you were doing all sorts of tech stuff, because we got a lot of tech stuff. Sorry, Ray. This is very important to figure out.
I am working with you guys in Jeff's spot today, but there is a ton of tech stuff, so I'm helping with that as well.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Now that we cleared that up, Ray, why is everybody tripping?
Nah, JP, you good, man. Nah, I don't know why they tripping, man. I don't understand, man. Everybody believe in AP, and I believe in AP. I've been a Redskins fan since forever. I've witnessed 2 Super Bowls. So everybody believe in AP, just keep believing in AP. I don't understand why everybody's tripping. I like Dotson, too. But if they seen the reason to let him go, then trust the reason to let him go. I don't know where everybody up in arms for. I don't understand.
I think that's a fair. I think that's a fair response, right? Honestly, like, I get that people think maybe they didn't get enough. I'm not. If Jahan balls out, the ops of this trade are going to be significant. But right now, the only theory that I think is completely asinine is that, like, oh, they didn't get enough. They got everything they could. The market is the market, man. Thank you, Ray. I appreciate you, buddy. Richard in Springfield. Richard, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, JP. How are you?
I'm good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing good. I tell you why I like this trade. Yeah, I like it from the way it was handled. It's like a real competent professional management perspective. And most importantly, I think we did right by the young man. We didn't send him to an NFL clown show. He gets to play with Jalen Hurts. He gets to play with experienced pros and a winning culture. And he gets to play for a team that's got a really good shot at the NFC Championship game. And, you know, it's a chance for him to perform, do exactly what he says he's capable of. And if he will, he'll get paid. And from the commander's perspective, you know, for whatever reason, the coaching brain trust said pass. And Peters went into action. He didn't waste time. He didn't, like, wait till the cut down and release the kid. He got a reasonable, fast deal done. And it reinforces to the rest of the players that this organization is serious about winning and willing to make changes as necessary and almost at any moment. So he did a good deal for him. Peters did a good job for the Commanders. And for me, the days of Snyder Ball are permanently over.
I appreciate that, Richard. And it's interesting because one of the biggest knocks on Dan Snyder was that he viewed everything as a zero-sum game, that somebody won and somebody lost, and he always had to win. Now, we know that that wasn't the case, but that was his mindset. It's valuable if Dotson is good in Philly, because then Philly's getting something out of this trade too. Now, it sucks because we all hate Philly, and it's the most stabby city in America, but like that is how trades are supposed to work. Matt Stafford is on the line. Hello, Matt.
Hey, I like this for everyone. I love Jahan, but I like it for everybody. And in a way, it shows the confidence they have in Kingsbury's offense because it simplifies the read progression. It takes the politics out of the read progression and makes it easy for Jaden to just go ahead and take off with it. And when you think about Kingsbury's Cardinals, they might have had Hollywood Brown. I don't remember him having too many big names or a couple big names at once.
DeAndre Hopkins.
And the only thing that I would say is maybe Jahan didn't fit in the Y or the Z or where they wanted him to be, but I do think he would have filled in pretty well for Terry. Say Terry were to get dinged up, I think Jahan would have been good to slide into that spot. But well, last thing I'd say is Eric Nathan, they mentioned him on the Junkies this morning. They said, you know, about Jahan, nobody ever really had much good to say, but really no one really ever had much good to say about Eric Bieniemy. So you got to kind of factor that in as well when you're taking in consideration how people are behaving at the practices.
Thank you,
buddy.
What
do you think, JP?
Appreciate you, pal. I mean, it is pretty remarkable if you look at last year's production, to Matt's point. I mean, just catches. Like, was there an outcry, an uproar of angst or aggression when they let Curtis Samuel walk in free agency and he signed with the Bills? Curtis Samuel had 62 catches for 613 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. They let Logan Thomas go. Logan had 6 more catches and about the same amount of yards as Jahan. You know, I think you could argue they should have re-signed Curtis. All right, Lanville, I'm going to try to do the right thing. We got Steve Palazzolo joining us next. If you're on hold, we're just going to have phones going the whole damn day, okay? The whole damn day. Steve Palazzolo, founder of Pro Football Focus, just started his own new podcast, Dude Knows Ball. Let's ask him about the trade.